O God, you are our light and our salvation. Living in your presence, we have nothing to fear. Open our hearts to your word this day. As we hear the story of the call of the first disciples, make us ready to follow Jesus on whatever path he leads us. Cast aside our fears and doubts and to teach us to trust wholly in you. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So just last week, for those of you that were here, I kind of went through this lengthy explanation with y'all about why I was going to follow a different set of lectionary readings and why I thought that was good for all of us. And what do I decide to do today? Go back to the same old readings. There was just something about this passage from Mark that I couldn't escape. The story from Mark about Jesus calling the first disciples, it's probably a familiar story for many of us. All four of the Gospels record it. And it comes around every January, which I always think is appropriate. A new year is always ripe with new possibilities. It's a time we ask ourselves, what's this new year have in store for me? What does it have in store for you? And in particular, what does the new year have in store for the church, this church? At the beginning of the new year, it seems appropriate to ask these questions, I think, and to ask ourselves deep down, what is God calling you to do? And what is God calling me to do? And what is God calling us to do? I realize New Year's Day may seem like ages ago, but my guess is plenty of us are still getting used to writing a 12 where we once wrote an 11. So these questions are still at the forefront of our minds, at least they are my own, when we encounter this story from Mark, a story about new beginnings, a story about Jesus calling the disciples and forever changing the course of their lives. What does God have in store for you? What does God have in store for me? And what does God have in store for us? What does God want us to do and become? One thing that always, 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 always strikes me about this story is the apparent ease with which the disciples dropped everything and followed Jesus. Peter, Andrew, James, and John dropped everything, everything to follow Jesus. There are some scholars who try to soften the blow of this, the suddenness of this, by saying that somehow the disciples knew Jesus or they had heard of him or had conversations with him. But personally, I don't buy it. All of the Gospels tell the story the same way, with the same suddenness, which for me is usually a clue that the story is told that way for a reason. So while we may question why the disciples didn't interview Jesus or question his motives, or perhaps at the very least do the first century version of a Google search, they don't do any of that. They just go. Jesus calls, they follow. Thinking and writing about the disciples' call has made me think about my own call to the ministry. And I have shared with you before that as far as call stories go, mine is relatively undramatic, almost downright boring. I got to come up with a new story. I am a cradle Presbyterian. I was baptized as an infant. Probably at, 10 days old. I grew up going to church every Sunday. I liked it. I've only been a member of one church, and that was the church in which I was baptized and confirmed and ordained twice and married. I felt called to give something back to a world that has blessed me greatly, to a God that has blessed me greatly. So I decided to become a minister. There are, of course, other paths to follow, in order to give back to the world, but this one suited me, and it is one that I enjoy very much. I recently went back to the church where I grew up. My uncle died at the end of December, so I was in Akron, Ohio, for his funeral. And it had been a number of years since I had been back to Westminster Presbyterian Church. And since I was there early, I snooped around a little. I had forgotten how big it is. The sanctuary seats around 750 people, which is about three times the size of this one. And I remember when it was full and you had to get there early on Easter to get a seat, and you had to get there really, really early if you wanted your usual seat. After the funeral and reception, my brother commented to me that Westminster just isn't like, is no longer what it used to be. And that is true. It is not. When I was growing up, there were around 1,200 members, two worship services, a load of staff people and pastors, and a full-time youth minister. There was even a lithographer. Do you even know what that is? Yeah, neither did I. Now there are around 600 members. There is less staff. And of course, there's no longer a lithographer. There is only one worship service, and the senior pastor and associates have been replaced by a very dynamic young clergy couple. The latter change has been a great move for the church, but it is the decline in membership that prompted my brother to ask me, why aren't there as many people? Why don't people come? Why don't people come? That is the million-dollar question, a question I get asked often. Church attendance across the country has been on the decline for about 40 years. I am pleased to say that here at Faith de Pere, our church attendance has gone up by about 20% in the last year, so we are bucking the trend. Or as someone said, we are fighting gravity. But it is still an important question to ask, especially, I think, if you want to keep bucking the trend. There are, of course, many theories as to why people no longer attend church. The most obvious reason, and the one I gave my brother, it sounds so stupid, is that people just don't go to church anymore. What once used to be a Sunday morning duty is now a discretion. People are overwhelmed with choices on Sunday mornings. Everything from the New York Times at Starbucks to hockey practice for your kids takes place on Sunday mornings. Church has become just one more option on the Sunday morning menu. And in some areas of the country or some demographic or social circles, it's frowned upon. The late Peter Gomes, who was chaplain at Harvard University, used to tell a wonderful story about parents of a Harvard student who wanted to discuss a problem with him that they were having with their daughter. And what might the problem be, Gomes asked. And the parents, worried and wringing their hands, said to him, "She's become a Christian, and she goes to church on Sundays." The theologian Douglas John Hall, a Canadian theologian, has a theory that the reason Protestant church attendance is on the decline is that people are looking for certitude, and mainline Protestants like Presbyterians have never been big on certitude. We like to think and question and ponder, and we'll even tell you that those doubts that you have are good for you, none of which is comforting if you are someone who wants a definitive answer to what God is up to in your life or in the world. It's a good theory, and it held true for a long time. But now, even the fundamentalist churches, the mega churches, are on the decline. Even their worship churches are on the decline. The third theory, and one that I think is worth noting, is that people just do not find Christianity all that helpful to their lives. They don't connect Sunday morning with Monday through Saturday. The 2 hours they may spend in church do not have any impact whatsoever on the other 166 hours in their week. So they don't come. They don't take the biblical story out with them into the world, so they find other stories to help them navigate their week. I actually think this is a complex working theory, but one that is worth our time exploring if we are serious about growing the church and calling people to follow Christ. For too long, we in the church, and I don't mean just this church, I mean churches again across the country, clergy and members alike, have asked, why don't people come? And for years, we have come up with a long list of reasons why people don't come to church. But this theory turns the question around and instead asks, why should they come? If they cannot connect the dots between Sunday morning and the rest of their week, why should they come? Why would they come? To use a helpful metaphor here, let's say you spend a couple hours a week going to the gym so you can feel and look better, okay? But after a while, maybe a few weeks or a few months, maybe even a year or two, you notice that you don't look any better, and so therefore you don't feel any better. Why would you waste your time continuing to go to the gym? You probably wouldn't. Instead, you would slowly drift away. You'd get a treadmill for your house and do your own thing. But after a while, even that doesn't begin to work. And the old treadmill begins to gather dust. And if you're at all like me, you eventually take it to the curb and hope someone takes it off your hands. I speak from experience here, having done just that 2 weeks ago. But here's what I learned in my limited treadmill experience. Getting into shape takes work. It is a commitment. It is a lifetime commitment. Granted, there may be times in your life when you're all gung-ho about the gym, and there may be other times when you're like, ugh, do I have to? But you go, because there is something compelling you to go. Now, following Christ is a whole lot different than that, but there are similarities here. There has got to be something compelling you, something calling you to follow. To get up on Sunday morning, when you have been up and out the door 5 other days of the week, and go to church. And it is that something compelling that people are not finding. I, for one, think that is unfortunate, but I also think this is where all of you, and I literally mean you, can be helpful. You are here, yes. So you have found something compelling you to be here. Maybe you don't find that something compelling 100% of the time. Maybe you don't even find it 25% of the time. But there is something compelling about Jesus's call that makes you get up, get dressed, and out the door on Sunday morning. So my question is, what compels you? Is it the music? Is it the message? Is it one another? Is it Sunday school for your kids? Is it adult education for yourself? What is it? To me, these questions seem like a good place to start when trying to figure out how do we get more people to come. And I think once we figure out the answer to that, then we can find a way to get the message out to people who are sitting on the fence, or in this case are sitting at home on Sunday morning but are longing for something more, something compelling in their lives. Because I am utterly convinced that those people are out there. And I am convinced that this church has something to offer them. So I want you to think about what compels you and what brings you here on Sunday mornings. This is not a theoretical question, by the way. I am truly looking for your answer. I want to know what your responses are, whatever they may be. So we've done this in the past. I've sent an email, posted it to the blog, and asked for your comments. And that's what I want to hear from you this week. I want to know what brings you here on Sunday mornings. What is it that is so compelling that you are here? Because I am also convinced that you are called to be bigger than you are. And that there is no reason why you shouldn't be. A couple of things we always look for in the trade to grow a church. A little like a realtor, location. You have that. You have a really fabulous building. More importantly, you have really good people. And, this is probably the biggest, you believe in a really good God. A God who seeks the lost and tends the broken. A God who puts mercy ahead of law and compassion before custom. A God who forgives sinners and welcomes all people to the table. This is the God who Jesus calls us to follow. And this God is compelling. In a world that is increasingly divisive, in a world in which the church is increasingly viewed as hateful and homophobic, this God who is none of those things, this God who Jesus introduces us to and calls us to follow matters. That God needs to be known. And I trust you all and have faith that you can make that God known. Let us pray. Most gracious and loving God, week after week, we join together to try to discern what it is you are telling us in these your ancient words. Yet as we gather together, there are countless others who have never heard your word or rarely hear your word. For others, they don't understand what is so compelling about your message. Help us to show them through our words and actions what is compelling. Help us to show them why the call to follow you is so important in their lives. And help us to be the church you are calling us to be. Help us to get your message of hope, joy, and love out to the world, both to the young and old, men and women, those who have been baptized, those who have not, and the newly baptized. It is in your